Time now for the Yahoo Sports College Podcast with Dan Wetzel.
The family tree is the dumbest thing in college sports.
Pete Thamel.
What objective human would visit both of those towns and be like, you know, Mount Pleasant.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Monroe itself is a federal penitentiary. It's the entire city.
Here's Pat, Pete, and Dan.
Hi, welcome to the pod. I listened to the pod without me.
Yeah, let's discuss this here.
We're grinding away, working ourselves to the bone. Final Four, national championship, 2:30 in the morning. Okay, maybe we had a beer in hand, but still. And you're off, you know, beaching sleeping or whatever.
Yeah. What? Absolutely. Well, first of all, I thought the pod was it was well organized. Insightful, well run. I enjoyed it. So I don't even know why I'm here. I thought it was superior without me. Normally I'd say you guys suck without me, but actually I was listening to it going, this is a pretty good pod. I would have screwed this up.
Well, I think our listeners really gleaned all they need to know the fact that you're the host of a college sports podcast and went on vacation the week of the Final Four. It's a pretty like telling sign of where your priorities lie. Like, you know, I don't think there are three things you could have skipped that are bigger than what you skipped. So congratulations. If like avoiding the most work was your goal, you achieved it.
Well, I had not taken a vacation since COVID started, you know, and then I didn't get to go to the Masters this year because we only got one press pass from Augusta National. And I wasn't going to go to the Final Four, and it's school vacation, so I said, screw it. We're going to school. We're going. Final Four generally is quieter than the early rounds when you're writing.
Yeah,
now, to my great delight, Roy Williams retired.
Yeah.
Hubert Davis got hired. Bill Self got a lifetime contract. All sorts. There was a bunch of other stuff went down. There was this epic game.
Jalen Suggs hit a 40-foot bank shot.
But you were going to write that. I'm not going to write a column on that from my living room. You were there. So, I'm a team player. Lots of stuff happened. And then my other primary beat is pretty much Deshaun Watson. Love of massages.
That's not going away.
Stuff happened there too.
Anyway, it never ends. So I want to be, don't hate. You got to write all the stories. But a lot did happen at this Final Four that normally does not happen.
Yeah, that's the thing. When the Roy Williams stuff blows up, and the next thing we know, we're getting pictures of your beer cooler. And then the Bill Self stuff blows up, and then there's pictures of poolside cocktails, and it's like, okay.
I was laughing. I did enjoy all of that. I was like, oh, interesting. Roy retired. I think I'll go back to my book.
You were flagged for excessive celebration. Workload.
It was an excellent time for me to go on vacation. Excellent time. Anyway, fine job without me, gentlemen. I was, you know, accused of drinking a lot. I'm not going to deny the charges. So I'm not going to.
You don't need Rusty Harden. You would need Rusty Harden to defend you on those charges.
I would. About as good as Rusty's defense is going right now would be mine. Yeah. Like, define a lot of alcohol. Yeah. Like, that's Rusty Harden's defense right now and Deshaun Watson. Lots of people delete Instagram messages, direct messages with 40 or 45 massage therapists that they try to hire all at once.
Yeah.
Who isn't doing that?
That's dubious defense, to say
dubious
the least.
Defense is for 100. All right. Speaking of vacation, Sean Miller, he's free.
No, he is. Long golfing vacation coming up for him.
Yeah, he was fired. He got $1.25 million. Cleared. He made all his money. Four full seasons since Book Richardson. Sean is free. He'll be an NBA assistant next year, probably New Orleans. Book Richardson, no, not so lucky. Funny how that works. Nothing against Sean getting another job, but man, weird timing. Why this? Why now? Why not 2 years ago, 4 years ago? Why not next? I don't know. Whatever you want to do. Sean Miller is finally sent free. Pat, your thoughts. And Pete, I know you wrote a column on it while I wasn't working. So, Pat, what do you think?
Yeah, I would have written about it, but I was coming off second day after the second shot, and I was hurting yesterday. But
oh wow,
yeah, I was monitoring events, obviously. You know, is it about time? Yeah. Is it past time? Certainly. What was the motivating factor other than the fact that the program had fallen and was not going to get up with Sean Miller as the coach? I think that was probably a big part of it. I have some possible theories about the like day-to-day, week-to-week timing of this. Not really the year-to-year, but the week-to-week. Like, I had heard some pretty strong rumblings 2 weeks ago that he had like 48 hours. And then that didn't happen. And so this carries out a little bit more. What I'm wondering, do they want to hire Tommy Lloyd, the assistant coach at Gonzaga, and they want to get past the Final Four and try to do this quickly of going from firing Sean Miller to hiring Tommy Lloyd? Now, they also, they're one of these places, and boy, is this a continuing trend where, oh, the family, you got to talk to somebody from the family, the Lute Olson family, you know, Mike Woodson, Hubert Davis. You know, there's going to be pressure from people, for Miles Simon, for Josh Pastner, for Jason Terry, for Damon Stoudemire. So there's going to be some of that involved as well. But that's why I'm wondering if the timing of waiting past the Final Four has any relation to Tommy Lloyd's potential status as a candidate.
I think it's a lot simpler than that. I think they basically wanted Sean Miller to quit, and he wouldn't quit, and he waited to get fired to get his $1.5 million. Plus, he's going to get some stock stuff. Remember that crazy copper deal
with
the energy guy? He's still got like maybe another $500,000 plus from that. He also got a retention bonus in 2020, which, going back over his financials yesterday, was maybe the most hilarious thing. They should call
so
it a survival
trying to hire
bonus.
Yeah.
There wasn't exactly a long line out the door. You know, in the NCAA is obviously like big week, right? Final Four and everything like that. What a tour de force of NCAA irrelevance we saw. We got the Kansas chancellor standing on the rooftop of Fog Allen Fieldhouse, giving the double bird to Indianapolis, saying, "We don't care about your enforcement. We don't care about your punishments. We're giving Bill Self a lifetime contract." No athletic director was hired at the time. They just do it. And then a week later, Arizona basically says, you know what? Sean Miller got fired for losing. And you said it well, Pat. Like, the program wasn't going to be able to recover from the losing. They did not make a Final Four in his 12 years. They had not won an NCAA tournament game since that happened. They only played in one, got run off the floor by Buffalo. And really, the thought was they kept Sean Miller at that time because they had a Final Four caliber team. I mean, that was an excellent, excellent Arizona team. And right. I'm actually happy for Sean Miller because he looks like he's gone through hell. Like, if you do before and after pictures of Sean Miller from September of 17 to now, like, remember the famous picture of him sweating on the sideline in the NCAA tournament? I believe that was 2016. If you look at, like, he just looks like the weight of this world is on his shoulder. And I guarantee you 6 months from now, Sean Miller is going to be like, thank God I got out of there, and why didn't they do it sooner? And I think part of the reason he stayed was because he had no other way to make $2.89 million a year, which makes perfect sense. So he basically built an extra $12-14 million out of Arizona. Arizona got nothing in return.
Nothing.
And then in one of like the great crystallizations of administrative dysfunction, it took Arizona 37 days to fire Sean Miller after, because their regular season ended March 1st. They didn't play in the Pac-12 tournament. They had self-imposed a ban this year. And it still took 37 full days. Can you imagine like the infighting, the booster meddling, the president who really just wants to be the athletic director? If that's not the most clear thing out of all this, Bobby Robbins, the Arizona president, is the president all the other presidents are laughing at right now, because he ran his own football search, and now he's going to run his own basketball search. And what a tour de force of look at me. That's what's happening at Arizona right now. Like, what a searing, dysfunctional mess from wire to wire. Like, they can't even get it right keeping the coach who was accused of massive amounts of cheating. Like, it's just everything you can do wrong administratively at Arizona, they've done wrong.
It really is quite a juxtaposition, and it is winning, right? Will Wade safe. Yep. Sean Miller's out. Pearl safe. Others. Who else is? Who's been out on this?
Some people. Patino's out.
Patino's out, but then he's kind of back because he could have gotten probably. Right. Mark Godfrey. Is he still working?
Still at Northridge.
Eighth place in the Big West, baby. Okay.
He's still
going. What a year he had.
It's about winning. If Sean had been able to weather it, he was unable to, as the way the others did. I mean, Self has enough track record that they were going to fight for him. You know, again, I get it. If you sit there and say, where are we going to get another? Can someone's going to have to reboot this thing? Is Bill Self your best bet? Certainly, you're rolling a dice that you're going to get a better bet. Very well could be. So I certainly understand what Kansas is doing. I get that none of these people care about the rules. My problem with Kansas was always suing people. That was my problem. Just own it. So I don't know. But so Arizona is a great job, great fan base. There's improved talent in state, keeps kind of getting better and better. There's a lot of good players in the Phoenix area, and obviously you can get kids out of Southern California, LA. So it should be attractive, but nobody knows what the punishment is coming. You don't know how much you're going to get devastated or not. You know, there's four level one infractions. What does this mean? I don't know. No one knows. Pat, you mentioned it. Got to have someone from the family tree. Look, I think you use the family tree if it means you might be able to get someone you normally wouldn't be able to get. If you can tug on their heartstrings and bring them back, then you do that. The family tree is the dumbest thing in college sports. Why would you limit your candidate pool to only people who were A, athletically gifted enough to play at your school and chose your school? Why would you do that?
It makes no sense.
Bill Belichick did not play in the NFL. Right. You don't sit there as the Patriots go, we got to hire a former Patriot. Like, it's just stupid to do.
They're not taking just kids from Arizona on the team.
You're right. Taking just kids there.
Good point.
It's like we're going. I mean, the Venn diagram of this is just so small. So we need successful guys who also played here because they know, like, what? Is Nick Saban play at Alabama? Mike Krzyzewski play at Duke? Did John Calipari play at Kentucky? Did Tom Izzo play at Michigan State? No. Mark Few, Scott Drew didn't play basketball anywhere.
Right.
I mean, who cares? Hire the best coach. I don't get these things. And then so you get Stoudemire, Miles Simon's a Lakers assistant. I mean, Miles Simon might be great. He's got a great personality. But, like, you're just going to hire Miles. Like, wait, what? Why are we doing that? Someone had one.
Well, he was the most outstanding player in the last West Coast Final Four, so he obviously will be the coach in the next one.
Hell of a player.
That was only 24 years ago.
Yeah. What the heck? Like, what? Josh Pastner? Okay, so Pastner, maybe. I don't know, but, like, just don't. I wouldn't do this, so I don't know. But this is what Carolina did. You guys mentioned it the other day. It's kind of, I mean, that's the number one job in college basketball, as I'm concerned, and you took a guy with no head coaching experience. Does it work? Sure, might work. I have no idea. No one ever knows. But
no,
yikes. Why? Yeah. Like, and it, like, isn't there some kind of, like, state law against this stuff too? Like, you're only hiring someone you know? Like, these are, I mean, you go down the line of, like, these are the highest paid guy in the state, right? And he gets the job because what? Did we have an open search? Nope.
No. Yeah, you don't think North Carolina had an open search in the 4 days it took them to say goodbye to Roy Williams and say hello to Hubert Davis?
I'm not calling for the Justice Department here, but some of this stuff just doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's like, wait, what? So we're just handing over a state job that pays this much because he knew the last guy who had the job? Okay.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It really is. Like, we have regressed, it seems like, in terms of coaching search common sense 3 decades in the last couple of weeks, you know, because I'm watching it at Indiana, watching it at North Carolina, and North Carolina, at least, the thing is, like, the head coach walking out is the guy calling the shot there, okay? That was Roy Williams calling that shot. Bubba Cunningham's like, okay, sure, but, you know, if that's what you want, we'll interview 4 of your guys. Roy said, go interview Wes Miller, go interview King Rice, go interview Hubert, go interview Steve Robinson, then just come back with Hubert. Okay, got it. Got it, Bubba, go. Okay. You know, but the Indiana thing was crazy. If Arizona goes down this route, Hofstra just hired Speedy Claxton. I mean, maybe that's a good hire at Hofstra. He was assistant coach there for a long time. But, you know, this is, it's like, because Juwan Howard had two great seasons. Everybody needs to do this or what? It's like we have just, it says two things to me. Athletic directors are less creative than ever and have bigger rabbit ears than ever to listen to the boosters who say, we need one of our guys. And the candidate pool for coaching isn't that good out there for some of these jobs.
Yeah, well, I mean, it also dovetails with the most interesting hiring trend of this cycle. And we have seen a long overdue flurry of minority hires in college basketball. It's something you've That's written true. About a bunch in the past, and it's dovetailed yes. with the trend of hiring former players. I really think that if we are going to continue to see more long overdue diversity in the college basketball coaching space, we're going to see, you know, former stars on the sideline, like Hubert, like Speedy, like Mike Woodson, who may not have the traditional paradigm background of one at a mid-major, one at, you know, the kind of guys who tend to move up the ranks in the way that we've seen the hiring go in the past. I don't know what the numbers are right now, but as of like 5 or 6 days ago, it was about 65% of the hirings were African Americans, which is, again, so long overdue. It's beyond laughable. And it would be interesting. I think it was, what, one of 18 minorities were hired in football this year, Pat? Is that right?
Yeah, Marshall. That was like completely, yeah.
Marshall yeah. was yeah. it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Marshall's that's the yes. only one.
So
that is a great point.
Yeah. So we're catching up in a lot of ways, finally, in basketball. We'll see. Football is always going to be that final frontier, right? Like that's because that is the most meddled with. That is the most booster controlled. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if this trend carries over to the football hiring process within the next, what, it's going to be 9 months until we're in the carousel again.
Don't rush it.
Yeah,
sorry. It has been night and day, because I think the Big Ten only had Juwan Howard. Yeah. as an African American yeah. head coach, and then I think they have four or five.
Say so, yeah, Big Ten: Micah Shrewsbury at Penn State, Ben Johnson at Minnesota, Mike Woodson at Indiana. So all of a sudden, yes, you're changing the literal complexion there of the coaching.
Three openings, three hires. So yeah. That's great. Yeah, I got no problem with alums. It's just like, if is that the right guy? It's sort of a weird thing. I think Juwan Howard made a huge difference on.
Woo.
On some of that, I think, because Juwan was a guy who came in and you had no idea. There was no track record. All you knew was he had been in Miami, which the Miami Heat is an exceptionally run organization with its own culture. And they do and Pat Riley does a great job of developing coaches and administrators and everything. There is a true culture at that place. And that's why they keep. Get like they made the finals last year with the team that shouldn't have made the finals. That's how they do it. And so he comes in and bang. I mean, they're rolling along, they're winning games, they got the number one recruiting class, all that. So good. Hopefully that turns some heads. But it has been very, very interesting, and it's good for basketball. We hope it continues in football. It's just sort of a weird trend when it's did you go to our school? I know everyone loves their alma mater and thinks there's something special.
Not everyone, Dan Wetzel.
Well, I don't think there's anything special.
Use his alma mater as the electric company.
We have three good players. So unless Marcus Camby, Patino, we could get him back. Yeah. Marcus Camby wants the coach. I don't think he does. Last time I talked to Marcus, he's quite happy not doing much. That's where you got to get a guy like Juwan Howard. He's got $100 million willing to work. That's the hardest part of the former right. NBA player and NFL player. And I ain't saying anyone's lazy, but the level, we all know how hard college coaches work.
Yeah.
Like it is 365, 24/7, relentless, relentless, relentless. Takes a guy like Scott Drew 20 years to build something up. You look at these guys and they all make a lot of money, but it's like, do you want to start on that treadmill when you're already rich? Like it takes the work ethic of Juwan Howard is incredible.
Yeah.
Of Penny Hardaway, of Patrick Ewing, of Jerry Stackhouse at Vanderbilt. Like I tip my cap, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, whew, you want to work that hard? You got all that money and fame and everything else. Like, maybe, you know, consultant with an NBA team would be a little easier.
Sure.
Be the color commentator on the radio broadcast. You know, that's good for you, man. Good for you guys.
Yeah. No, they're grinding it. And so, yeah, this will be one of the most interesting kind of trend pieces to watch for the next couple of years.
One school that did not go with the did you go to the school is Oklahoma. They got drag Porter Moser out of Loyola Chicago. Sister Jean is without her buddy. I think that'll be interesting. I don't know if anyone has any Porter Moser big statements, but thought that was a quality hire by Oklahoma, which is always a sneakily good basketball program. That's a great job.
It is. It's a good job because there's not a lot of overt pressure, and you can recruit Texas, and you're going to get all the athletic department support. And it's another example to me. Just Joe Castiglione is very good at his job, all phases of his job. But when he hired Lon Kruger, everybody's like, oh, really? And Lon Kruger ended up being great there. Took them to a Final Four, won 20 games every year, had them in the tournament, and never with even just a whiff of anything going wrong there. And then you look, Porter Moser's probably going to be that same guy, I think. You know, he's going to work really hard, they're going to be good, and he's probably not going to get you into a lot of trouble. You combine what he's done on the football side, promoting Lincoln Riley, which turned out to be a complete grand slam. Joe Castiglione knows what he is doing. My beef is with Porter, because I think he stole my line about Sister Jean being in the transfer portal. He said that at his introductory press conference after I tweeted that a couple of days earlier.
Well, an accusation of plagiarism, believe, is a serious trouble.
You need an NFT on your tweet. That way you know you can own it forever, Pat.
Yeah. Trust me, I had to look up what NFT meant this week. No idea.
That world's coming fast, man. That's coming really, really, really fast. Luke Garza just sold his became the first college athlete, even though his eligibility is up, to sell an NFT. And somebody said to me that Jalen Suggs could have sold an NFT at the shot that night for, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I who would buy our podcast NFT? Do you think we'd
we're accepting bids?
Yeah,
we are. Let's make it official. Let's put it out there.
Both beer, cash, and beer.
Beer, cash, and chicken sandwiches.
Yes. Hell no.
Yeah, I was in the Detroit airport on the way home because there were any directs from Indy, and I saw the Popeyes, and it was my chance.
Oh!
And I just felt like such garbage after being away for 2 weeks that I was like, I can't do it right now. Not
today. Man.
Because, you know, when you go up to the Final Four, you're like, oh, wow, I'm going to be healthy now. I'm going to be healthy now. And if I had eaten a chicken sandwich, it just would have thrown me in. So I will get it this spring somewhere. We'll make a field trip.
Okay. Take your time.
I can remember that.
That the Popeye gimmick was only 18 months ago. Take your time. Such dedication.
Well, good things about these iPhones. I might get one.
To talk about the selling of the items and all of this. Sportico did a piece, sportico.com, looking at all the different disclosures that head football coaches made on outside income that they generated. And in addition to their billions and millions of dollars. And it's pretty interesting. Kirby Smart got $130,000 from Ford. Ed Orgeron, $226,000, mainly in endorsements. Raising Cane's. Nick Saban, corporate speaking, $350,000. Dabo's estimated $75,000 to $150,000.
And wasn't like 25 of that for Dabo from, like, just showing up for the Chick-fil-A Golf Classic?
The Chick-fil-A Golf Classic got him 25, as and Dave Dorian got 5, which is kind of funny, which is a charity golf outing. But obviously, they probably figure getting Dabo there to adds, you know. But you look at this stuff, you know, this is some of the stuff that the players could get. Yeah. How much could Trevor Lawrence have gotten from the Chick-fil-A charity golf outing? How much could Jalen Suggs get? They're all screaming existential threat, and this is the worst, but here are these guys, and I have no problem with this. Make as much money as you want, but really, Dabo, you need a little extra to go to a charity golf outing?
Yeah.
Like, you know, they talk about these players, like the greed, and this is going to throw them off. These guys are chasing nickels, man. Like,
right. Well, it's going to take away their focus on the season. You know, they're going to be too busy with other stuff. Well, the coaches aren't too busy. I mean, what, you know, give me a break.
People telling other people to not make a living is just, like, listen to yourself.
I did the story at Suggs' shot and what it would be worth kind of in, you know, a year from now in the NIL world. And one of the most interesting thoughts, talking to administrators, talking to people in that space who are going to be helping athletes make money, was, so now, like at the Final Four, for example, in the off day, there's half an hour of CBS, half an hour with, or an hour with, like the typical media like us. Like, is there going to be an hour where they take care of brand stuff, where you're taking, you know, where you're shooting videos, where you're doing Cameo, like, you know, some goofy walk-on could make $5,000 doing cameos. You know, the guy on the end of the bench waving a towel, if he catches and goes viral, he could do cameos and make $5,000, like, sure, like very quickly. So like, there's just basically every player on a Final Four team could pick up an extra $10,000 through some of this kind of goofy gimmick stuff. And so there will be systems in place and it will become normalized very fast. But it'd be interesting if, like, after you talk to the print and digital media for an hour, there is then time to meet with your brand specialists to do things to make money, which, again, you can still watch the film. Like, this isn't going to cut into anything. But I do think that's the new reality we're looking at right now. And it's just going to be different. It's not going to be in no way is it going to be worse.
You've got 14-year-olds making huge money doing TikToks, playing video games, tens of millions of dollars dancing for 20 seconds to a song. Yeah. They figure out how to make the money. That's where they'll make the money. They're sitting there going, well, we got to hold this all up, because what if Jalen Suggs gets a Nike deal and he's playing for an Adidas school? Just shut up and get out of the way.
Right.
Let capitalism work. They'll figure it out. It's going to be small money for most of them. Who cares? Right. Let them get their money. They will get the money. The people making these decisions, old athletic directors and conference commissioners that are scared of everything, which they really aren't. They're just scared of losing their $25,000 to have their head coach appear in a speaking engagement. Have no idea what this economy is, because these high school and college kids are figuring it out everywhere else.
Oh, there's no doubt on the Orange Bowl cruise is going to be threatened.
Yeah, that's what they're worried about.
That's it. No, that's, yeah. I mean, do you remember when we went to full cost of attendance and a stipend that was available for players, and everybody then was like, oh no, this is going to kill us, this is going to ruin us. You haven't heard a word about it since then, because it worked fine. There was no problem. It was
Jim
no
Delaney.
Problem. Yeah.
There was one interesting thought. I don't know how much you guys are on Twitch or have read about Twitch, but like, if Jalen Suggs did a live Twitch stream after, like interview, took questions, and you can tip someone on Twitch, how many tips from drunken Zaga fans would he have gotten?
Oh my God,
Jalen's on Twitch. It would be like, yeah. Oh, I'm a bit like, it, yeah. Like that could just be a gusher of, you know, $100,000. Right. Like just people like for bringing that much joy, or people whose brackets he saved or won or whatever.
And gambling win. You hit the shot that covered. Oh, it wasn't even the spread.
Oh,
you
hit
that shot. Bang. We won. I'm going to kick you. Venmo. GoFundMe. Yep. It's like, do you guys even, this is the funniest part of these people, is they're around college kids all day long and then they act like college kids can't figure out how to make a buck. Like, what is going on your campus? Right. Baylor last year paid two social media stars to attend their school. Paid them.
Yeah. It was a New York Times article. It's great.
One of the biggest stars on TikTok, Addison Rae, was at LSU for 1 year, and I think she dropped out to make gazillion dollars on TikTok. LSU was using her as like, look at our students. We got her. Yeah. Like, everyone's using this stuff. But oh my God. Pat, I want to give you this because this is where it goes also. This would be more traditional brick and mortar, if you will, money. But like, you have a unique perspective with your daughter. National, she won NCAA title this year in swimming. A huge star, you know, Olympic hopeful. And I'm sure in the swimming community is very, very well known. The last 4 years, if she had come back to Louisville or worked somewhere else and either owned her own camp or clinic, or like, how much money could Brooke have made even the traditional way? Like, if she held a local swim clinic, how many, like, right? Kids are going to show up for that and pay $100.
Yes. If you go from our house up to our little neighborhood pool where she first started swimming and say, you know, give me that pool for from 8 to 5 one day for a clinic, I think she would get a lot of kids who would come in and pay whatever the going rate would be, you know, and you give them a couple hours of stroke clinic, you give them a little Q&A discussion, and then you sign stuff for them and you're walking out with a bunch of money. And Yeah, look, I remember
the horrors. This is an existential threat.
What a terrible thing that
Brooke
would be.
Brooke 40 might have a summer job. No. Stop teaching kids to swim.
It'd be terrible. No, when she was in 2008, Caroline Burkle from Louisville made the Olympic team, swam in the Olympic team, and then came in after that, and she was done with college. So she had a little autograph appearance thing at Lakeside Swim Club, and Brooke 40 got a cap signed by her, and it's still in a frame up in her bedroom. And yeah, that economy existed for Caroline because she was done with college. Should exist for people who are in college. Earlier today, I was on a U.S. Olympic Committee Zoom with Katie Ledecky, and she was talking how, you know, Ledecky came from a well-to-do family, you know, I mean, not hurting in any means. And so she didn't necessarily need it, but she went to college at Stanford for 2 years and swam for Stanford and bypassed millions in endorsements to swim for Stanford. But why on earth can't she get both? Why can't she have a swim contract and a goggles contract and this and that and everything else?
Why kick her out?
Yeah.
That's right. What they're doing. They're kicking Katie Ledecky out. You see this with the gymnasts.
Now, yeah.
Women's gymnastics is very popular, particularly in the SEC. I mean, they get huge crowds. They get TV ratings. Remember Lori Hernandez, one of the members of the last Olympic gymnastics team that won gold? She teared up telling us that she turned pro at the Olympics. She teared up. She wanted to go to Florida.
Really?
And she was like, I'm giving up on Florida. They said I'd always be a Gator. But, you know, there's just too much money to be made being on this team. And she wanted to have a leotard deal and appear on Dancing with the Stars. And she hosted like kids. She was one of the hosts of like kids Ninja Warrior show. Like, you know, why would you kick this person out of college sports?
Right.
What the hell did Lori Hernandez ever do except be really good?
Yeah.
And yep. It's like, we're kicking her out. We don't want her because what? And your TV ratings will go up. More people would be, I don't know how old Laura Hernandez is right now, but she very well could still be competing. She might be a senior. I think she would be, right? 5 years ago?
Is that right? Yeah.
She's in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd probably be at the NCAA championships right now. I think one of them actually stayed and went to UCLA. The rest of them all had to turn pro. Imagine Simone Biles in college.
Oh.
How many people would watch Simone Biles the last 4 years if she had gone to the University of Houston or UCLA or wherever they go? Wherever sure. She would have gone. Instead, we're like, no, yeah. Simone, we don't want you.
So here's the thing. We live in a sporting environment now that's completely star-driven, and the social media era has only accentuated. The existential threat has essentially forced the biggest stars out of the NCAA's only moneymaker. Like, all these rules have, in a way, undercut the NCAA. Can you imagine if Jalen Suggs didn't go to Gonzaga? We didn't have that moment.
No, oh, boy.
What really prompted Adam Silver to start this G League select elite team and, you know, have guys, Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga are Jalen Suggs level stars. They're going to be drafted in the same neighborhood in the, you know, top 5, 6, 7. And those guys went to the G League. LaMelo Ball went to Australia. And that's basically when Adam Silver, who's a businessman and just a guy who, if you've ever spoken to him, is filled with common sense. He said, perhaps the best American basketball stars shouldn't be forced to foreign countries for their formative years. It's not good for anybody. So, I mean, can you imagine what LaMelo Ball, like, if you see what he's done as a rookie, can you imagine those bounce passes and, like, that skill set playing in college basketball? It would be a tremendous amount of fun. It would be fun for everybody. It would increase ratings. It would do all this stuff. But these rules were set up so strict that guys went over to get paid. They wanted to become professionals right away. There is a balance here. Hopefully we strike it soon with name, image, and likeness. But the Suggs argument is very clear. You have a moment like that or a run like that, and even if he doesn't hit the shot, he had a great tournament and a great season. He elevated himself clearly to the top of the sport, and America got to know him. Carmelo Anthony could have gone to the NBA draft directly in the early 2000s. He went to Syracuse for a year. That increased. Everyone knew who he was by the time that he was drafted. Like, everybody. So there is an intrinsic value that's worth a ton of money by that. But for the NCAA, that was enough. They're going to amplify your name. They weren't going to let guys above board profit off this. And so I really feel like college basketball, as it comes back, and I thought this was a great college basketball season, one of the best ones we've had in the last 4 or 5 years. I feel like as college basketball tries to swing back into the American sports mainstream more, meaning as a six-month sport, not a six-week sport, they are going to need those defining stars that, as of recent years, have chosen to go other places. And the best way to get those stars is to pay them. It's very simple. It's not complicated. Now,
or let them get paid.
Avenues open for them to be paid.
Let them get paid. Yeah. How about this? Just a quick side, because the Frozen Four is this weekend, so we can get the last chance getting any college hockey in. But article in the National Post in Canada, the NCAA hockey teams are increasingly winning battles against Canadian junior hockey for top talent. The NHL is now over 30% of the league had at some point or another come through college hockey. Now that might be for 1 year, might be for 2 years, could be for four. Now they have a different system, one I think they should employ. Otherwise, I know it's complicated, but the NHL just drafts whoever they want at 18. There's no declaring for the draft. There's no way you can say I'm not in the draft, and there's no way of saying I'm in the draft. If you turn 18, you get drafted. It's like the military.
Yeah.
Then you choose whether you want to go to college or not, or you want to go play for the Moose Jaw, you know, Warriors or something like that, and ride a bus around. Well, more and more kids and their families are looking and going, wait, this is a better situation. I'm going to send my kid to University of Minnesota.
Yeah.
I'm going to send my kid to Minnesota Duluth. And you actually are a huge star in some, especially, I mean, you look at this, or the Frozen Four. I mean, like Duluth, that's the team. Hockey is the team in Duluth, college hockey. There's a city of Duluth. Like, you can make money being that somebody. Absolutely, in Duluth.
No doubt about it.
Be that star. You could now, let's say you can make money and you get good training and you get the pressure of the event. And you're not just riding buses through Saskatchewan and all this stuff. They're actually attracting more talent, and I think they will attract more. And yet somehow these college administrators scream like this is a horrible thing. What if more people watch hockey? What if more people watch gymnastics? What if more? I mean, yeah. We don't want the good athletes.
Right.
What if a couple college basketball players? How about this? What if Jalen Suggs? I know this is a little much, but let's say a player, just a step cal, a tick below Jalen Suggs, because he's going to be a top three pick. But what if he says, you know what? I'm going to make a bundle at Gonzaga this year. If I come back for another year, I could actually make $1 million playing another year of college basketball. Who cares?
Yeah. So many times you do hear that people are going pro to take care of their family. Well, if you're good enough, you can help take care of your family before you go pro. You can do both. Maybe not, you know, it would depend. But you would at least have a more equal means of making the decision. You know,
if you're going to be you're projecting as the 22nd pick, uh-huh, and you're like, you know what? I got a pretty good situation right here. Like, I imagine Jalen Suggs is in Spokane, Washington, he's the star of all stars. He'll forever be a hero there. So what if it's like, hey, this is our package. I can get this done. I can, and I'm a national star now.
Yeah.
I can sign and do a weekly appearance on this show. And I can, you know.
Sure.
I can do this. I can do that. I can do all these different things. I can make a lot of money coming back to college basketball. Again, that's not an existential threat.
No.
The TV ratings are down. They're flat. You know,
right. Like, it's, you know who that guy may be is Drew Timmy, who I think got a pretty good education on how much he needs to get better to have an impact as a professional player. He's a very good college player, but he got punked in the championship game. And I mean, if I were watching that, my thought, if I were him, was like, oh boy, you know, I got to come back and get stronger, period. And you can come back and get stronger and do a commercial for the Ford dealership and do a signing over here and have a Drew Timmy basketball camp for a weekend in September, you know, and
I'd pay for him to shave. He gets a GoFundMe to shave. I'm donating some razor
commercial. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, what about Johnny Juzang, for example? So a guy gets red hot in the tournament. I just saw Kristen Peek's mock draft. She had him late second round.
Wow.
Shouldn't systems be set up for Johnny Juzang at UCLA in Los Angeles, California, to go back, make a good amount of money, and maybe elevate his status, lift some weights, he's skinny as all get out, and elevate to where he could become the 28th pick in the draft and get guaranteed money instead of that, and not, It should be college basketball needs to get to the point where it's more attractive than the G League, and it's not right now for players. Right. It's just not. And if you can swing that, and with all those UCLA connections and all the goodwill Johnny Juzang had, I mean, he's still hitting like tightly guarded mid-range fadeaway jumpers right now in my head. Like how many benevolent UCLA folks around town could help and would want to be part of Johnny Juzang coming back and that ride with him coming back? And that Absolutely. Should be a lot more attractive than playing for the Reno Mad Ants or whatever.
Yeah. Reno Bighorns, Fort Wayne Mad Ants. Come on. Get them right.
I've been screaming about this for 20 years. The conventional wisdom around college athletics is so often so wrong. And it's all about protect. It's just squeeze that penny. And it's like, guys, I hadn't even really spent much time thinking about the gymnastics, but imagine how big the gymnastics championship is. If all those Olympians become huge names at 16, then go to college.
It'd be huge. Absolutely huge.
I mean, they tour around the country after filling arenas. Like they do a star tour. Same with, you know, the figure skating. We don't have but you know, like honestly, Simone, we haven't watched, no one's watched Simone Biles except for the hardcore gymnastics fan. Who will watch some world championships from Istanbul at 3 a.m. or something.
Yes.
No one's seen her do any gymnastics in 5 years. Right? She's the greatest gymnast we've ever seen. This woman is unreal. I'll cover her every single day in Tokyo the same way I did in Rio. At least I can remember where I was for that one. They're all the same, man. The Olympics are like the NCAA and then some. They set up the same lighting and banners every. Like you couldn't. You're in the back of a gymnastics hall. You don't know where you are.
No, it's even the same like intro music and medal stand music and everything. Oh yeah. No.
Like where am I? What am I doing? Anyway, we don't want that. We don't want that. The only people in the world who don't want to be in business with Simone Biles is the NCAA. We'll put her on our podcast if she'd want to come on and talk. What does it do with it?
Happily.
All right. Let's get to something we all agree really sucks. Although we appreciate the effort here. A ranking. Who did this, Sully? Big Game Boomer. Big Game Boomer on Twitter. @ATL_Boomer1990.
There we go.
An expert, apparently. He ranked. Why, I don't know, but he did it. The best college towns in America, but group of 5 schools only. Take your little Ann Arbor, get your ass out of here.
No Starkville here.
Chapel Hill, Madison. No. We're all about the group of 5. What kind of demented person would rank this?
Sounds like something we'd do, actually.
Anyway, he did it, and I'm so demented, I'm angry at the rankings.
I admit, I sent it to you because I knew it would just be absolute red meat for a pit bull.
Here. I am just, what is this? First off, he only goes 60. There's 65 group of 5 schools. Amherst, Massachusetts didn't even make the list.
You know you're bad when you can't make the top 60 of the group
when
of 5.
When a guy is spending hours creating a chart of the best group of 5 schools, and your school slips his mind. Why are we playing football? What is we can't even make this list.
The most ridiculous one is that Mount Pleasant, Michigan is in front of Honolulu.
It is.
What objective human would visit both of those towns and be like, you know,
I mean,
number 12. Ranking is Mount Pleasant, Michigan. First off, it's flat as a pancake. I don't know where the mountain is. And number 13 is Honolulu, Hawaii. Home of the Hawaii Rim. What? What is this list? About UNLV, 49th. This is even more stupid.
Yeah. Vegas,
but for some reason he says it's Paradise, Nevada.
Yeah, what the hell?
That's Las Vegas, Nevada. It's right next to the damn airport. One step behind Ypsilanti, Michigan. Just a collection of smokestacks and water treatment plants to serve Ann Arbor, Michigan. There are people in Ypsilanti going, wait, what? The mayor of Ypsilanti is like, wait, we're ahead of Las Vegas? Is this guy drunk?
Hey, 9 spots ahead of San Diego is Monroe, Louisiana. I have been to Monroe, Louisiana, and on every single list, Monroe, Louisiana should be last of any kind of all this. Monroe, Louisiana is horrendous.
Where is San Diego? I don't even see it. What number?
Oh, San Diego's 38. 39.
Behind
30.
Birmingham.
I like Birmingham, but like...
He doesn't like Miami.
San Diego's behind Murfreesboro, Tennessee. What the hell? Behind Troy, Alabama.
DeKalb, Illinois.
What is the criteria?
Kent, Ohio.
Stores is at 18. I know UConn people that hate Stores.
Oh, Stores is horrible.
Stores isn't even as good as Amherst.
Here we go. We're getting the New England United argument back.
It's got to be Amherst. Amherst is better than Stores, and I wouldn't put Amherst.
I would agree
18th.
With that. Okay,
then
that.
There's this little beef that I think needs to be settled through warfare. Number 16, Bowling Green, Ohio. Number 17, Bowling Green, Kentucky. The battle of the Bowling Greens. This is just trolling.
They should be like 53 and 54.
Yeah, they both suck. Bowling Green, Kentucky is better than Bowling Green, Ohio, though.
I would agree with that.
Bowling Absolutely Green, Ohio, the that. Football stadium is in the breakdown lane of I-75, literally. You can tailgate in the breakdown lane, and it's like that. What's that? Houston Baptist, with like the football stadiums and
the CVS in the parking.
Yeah, the
lot.
CVS yes. pharmacy drive through is like right next to the
the breakdown.
What
you
is
get a COVID test on third and long?
When Bowling Green and Toledo play, they literally play for the Battle of I-75.
Yeah, like
the worst trophy I've ever seen in my life. Like, what? It's always under construction anyway. Man, they get fired up in Perrysburg for that game. Backyard brawl. All right, I'm going to read the top 10. This thing is just, I don't understand the criteria, because at first you're like, okay, he likes small college towns. But then New Orleans is 10th and Dallas is 21st. So you're like, okay, you don't like Miami. You don't like, I don't know, Buffalo. And if you don't like big Houston, doesn't do well. Okay, fine. You don't like the big cities. But then what the hell is New Orleans doing 10th? First off, New Orleans should be one. All right, top 10, New Orleans, 10. Number 9, Statesboro, Georgia. Georgia Southern.
I mean, come on. I've been to Statesboro. No!
I haven't been to Statesboro. There's another place I haven't been, but I'm not exactly kind of go either.
If you're a fan of humidity and huge mosquitoes, I think Statesboro.
Well, it's like you go to Savannah and then drive a very disappointing like 60 miles to Statesboro is what you do. You're like, oh, okay. Savannah, well, very nice.
How about Hattiesburg, Mississippi?
No.
Number 8.
No.
It ain't 8. I mean, I've been to Hattiesburg. It's fine.
But it's okay. No. It's not on the Gulf. Like, if it was on the Gulf, you'd be like, okay, maybe. But it's not.
Number 7. This one's a great inspired choice. Annapolis. Beautiful
town. Yeah.
You want to say that? Okay. This is why it's just so unpredictable. I think he just rolled dice and it was
I swear.
Number 6, Boone, North Carolina. Beautiful place.
I have heard it's awesome. I haven't been.
I have been there. Beautiful. Appalachian State.
Yep.
Number 5, Laramie.
No.
No.
I don't
see it. Head coach was tweeting yesterday how 2 days ago at practice, it was 90 degrees, and then it snowed at practice yesterday. So, no.
It snowed on July 4th there a couple years ago. It's Wyoming. Sure. Like,
yes. I mean,
if Laramie was so great, someone would live there.
Welcome to Laramie, population 0.
It's like, well, I got to go to school here. If they hadn't put the school there, there'd be nothing there.
I covered a basketball game there in the 90s, like, you know, so a while ago, but not ancient history, and paid $35 a night for the hotel.
Who I've played been a couple in Laramie? Times.
Louisville. Louisville played. Yeah.
Is that a Tom Jurich kickback?
I that was before Jurich. I think it was Denny Crum, like, you know, trying to sweeten some deals so that he could go hunt in, like, you know, the mountains there.
It's the old school way, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, they used to do stuff like that. I'll play if you get me on a hunting trip. I liked when college coaches weren't paid well.
Yeah.
Abe Lemons and Don Haskins had a golf bet going, and one of the bets at one point was whether they'd have a home game between Texas and UTEP.
Oh, yeah.
Laramie, I mean, it's actually a nice little town. Number 5? Like, again, no. I don't know. Where do we come up with this?
It might be number 5 on a list of Wyoming cities. Like,
I mean, got to go with Jackson Hole.
Jackson Hole. Gotta be number Cheyenne 1. Is better.
It's,
Laramie's no better than 3rd.
Cody.
Powell.
Yeah.
Cody. Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. Those are the five cities, by the way. We have nothing else. Name a sixth city. I can't believe we got five deep.
Just going to say, I'm kind of impressed that we reeled off five Oklahoma
cities. Pretty good. Logan, Utah. All right. No. This guy likes hiking, I think. Kind of pretty town, Utah State. Okay. I like this one. Inspired choice here. Number three, Athens, Ohio.
I agree.
Probably the prettiest town in Ohio, for what that's worth.
It's probably the best Mac town, right? Like, part of me is like, did best you just town pick the map. Best? I'm trying to think if there's a better Mac town.
Athens, Ohio with Miami is, or no, well, wherever's Miami? Where's Miami?
Oxford. It's a very nice town, too.
Yeah.
Athens
is like they got good 20. Old-fashioned party town. Like,
yes.
Athens is good. They got a nice
bar per capita, very, very high.
That one street is, that's a mess. Yeah, that's a mess. Yep. And it's right there. Very nice. Very nice area. Number two, I think we all like Boise, Idaho.
Yep.
Great town.
Yep. Great city. Very underrated city. And it's and they support the team decently. Although they really should sell more tickets to those games.
They should. No, they should.
What are the people in Boise doing? Go to the damn game. Like, number one. I just don't see this as number one. Fort Collins, Colorado.
As a Coloradoan, I will defend the choice. Fort Collins is great. It's really good. I would put it. I mean, if you give me my Colorado hierarchy, it's going to be Boulder, Denver, Fort Collins, Colorado Springs, probably. So,
all right. Well, I guess they're not that bad at the top, but there are some questionable.
There's many questionable things. And the main reason I sent this to Dan is because El Paso, Texas, was ass last, and Dan is, of course, the greatest defender of El Paso, Texas, and UTEP known to mankind. No
Best one correct food. Ranking on this, by the way.
Phenomenal, like, dive bar scene. Actually, I don't think there's anything but dive bars there. Just a great. Fresno came in 59th, second to last. I still hold this truism about Fresno. No one there owns a tie. No one's ever worn a. No one's ever
Maybe
dressed up in
string tie. Is it?
Nobody owns a suit in Fresno. Buffalo came in 58th. I mean, and it's not even in Buffalo. It's in Amherst, New York, right? University of Buffalo?
I have no idea.
You know, I went there to write about Nate Oates a couple of years ago. My hotel was in Amherst, but I think the school is in Buffalo.
It's like the suburbs of Buffalo is where that thing is.
Yeah, and it's then not they like got, downtown or anything. It's
he does not like Houston. Rice and Houston came in 57th and 56th. I actually think the Rice area is better than the Houston area.
Yeah, the Rice area is nice.
Yeah, well, you know what? This is garbage.
When Herman was at Houston, it's right up against the Third Ward. It's a legit bad neighborhood. And there was a place called Navy Seafood you could see from the practice field. And it said, you buy it, we fry it.
Yeah. There you go.
Number 55 was Albuquerque. Again, does not like the Southwest. Doesn't like some against good Mexican food.
Interesting, though. Like he likes I-25 until you get too far south. Because Laramie's on I-25, Fort Collins is on I-25, Colorado Springs is on I-25, and all of a sudden you get to Albuquerque and it's terrible. So.
Makes no sense. Well, I'll give you one in the Charlotte came in 54th. 53rd is Toledo. So he hates Toledo but likes Bowling Green?
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Philadelphia, 52nd?
We got to ask this guy, like, how many of these has he actually been to? Like four? You know, and he's just throwing stuff. I mean, come on.
Akron, 44th.
Yeah, I would think between the three of us, we've been to every place on this list.
Yeah, I bet we have.
Let me see if I can.
I don't know. I have not been to like Jonesboro.
San Marcos is between San Antonio and Austin, right?
Yeah, they have a really good strip mall.
Let me see any.
A really good strip mall. There's no such thing.
I have not been to East Carolina.
I've been.
Okay. I have. Yep.
I have. I'm just going to go through the ones I have, and then you guys can either say.
All right.
So I've been to Fort Collins, Boise, Athens, Logan, Laramie, Boone, Annapolis, Hattiesburg, Statesboro, New Orleans, Colorado Springs, Mount Pleasant, Honolulu, Orlando, Greenville, the two Bowling Greens I've been to. Kentucky's better than Ohio.
Yep.
Stores, Lafayette, Oxford, Ohio, Dallas, Cincy, Huntington. Oh, yeah. Oof, some rough nights there. Kalamazoo. Too many soccer tournaments. Ruston, Louisiana. I've been there. Best press box, college press box meal I ever had was a La Tech Boise game. They brought in a local barbecue.
Really?
And they brought it in. It's a fairly small press box, as you might imagine, in the media market of Ruston. And the caterer showed up. This guy showed up, and it was like immediately the entire press box smelled of just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. Jonesboro, Arkansas, I have not been to. Anyone?
I haven't either. Have you? Okay. You
got us covered. I did a profile of Charlie Strong. He was born in Arkansas, and I went to his hometown, and I stayed in Jonesboro. Sorry, it was in a dry county for a while. I believe it's not in a dry county anymore, but I'm really leery of any dry counties.
So like, probably why I never went. Yeah. The fact that we can go through this and Mike get it is the saddest indictment and the most pathetic segment we've ever had on this podcast.
Yes. New Kent, lows.
I've been to Kent, Ohio. Reno, gotta love it. Biggest small town or whatever.
Yeah,
that is like Reno is phenomenal. All the shady parts of Vegas with none of the good ones.
Right. Yes, just exactly.
Just love it. I love Reno. Monroe, Louisiana.
I'm telling you,
I don't know that I've been there. I've been to a federal penitentiary. There was a federal penitentiary near there, but I don't think I ever made it into Monroe proper.
Monroe itself is a federal penitentiary.
All right.
It's the entire city.
DeKalb, Illinois. Yeah, I got soccer there this season, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. San Marcos, I've driven by. I can't say I've ever stopped in. Troy, Alabama.
I've driven by Troy.
I've never been to Troy.
No.
I don't think I've ever stopped in.
Conway
/ smallest town that has a, other than Army. Other than West Point, that is the actual smallest place.
Really?
There is no easy way to get there because I was at Alabama once and they had like a Thursday game and it was like, it's difficult to arrive in Troy. But I give
God,
credit.
We got beat. Took 30, 31, but we got beat.
Dad and I actually stopped by the stadium and went out of our way. It is very hard to find.
Thank you, Sully.
All right, Sully saves us.
Sully,
there we go.
Job.
Okay.
Conway, South Carolina. I have been to driving to Myrtle Beach. Tampa. Yeah,
I've been there.
Murfreesboro. Yeah, that's just south of Nashville. San Antonio. Boca Raton. Pete's the friggin' mayor. Yeah.
Should I get my themed bowl jacket with the patch to prove it? Or I'll sleep in the car.
Birmingham, San Diego, Mobile, San Jose, Muncie. Man, I spent a week there one night.
Yeah.
Tulsa, Akron, Memphis, Miami, Atlanta, Ipsy. This UNLV is in Las Vegas, not in Paradise, Nevada.
Forget that.
Denton, Texas, been there. Metroplex. Yep. Norfolk, yep, I've been there. Philadelphia, Toledo, Charlotte, Albuquerque, Double Dip of Houston, Buffalo, Fresno, and El Paso. We did it, gentlemen. We did it.
Oh. I think we've got them all, haven't we? How about that?
Sad. You want to be a college sports writer, huh?
Yeah.
Right? Proud or chagrined? I don't know which.
A lot of Marriott points.
Fairfields and courtyards.
If you had to go to one on this list, who would be your number one?
Would I just be lazy to say San Diego?
Yeah, I think San Diego probably would be. How do you argue against San Diego?
Yeah, no. The only choice would be Honolulu, I would say. I haven't been to a beach in a long time. Honolulu is kind of calling my name.
All right.
That's fair.
Sorry, Ypsilanti.
What'd you call it? The waste treatment and electric stack repository for Ann Arbor?
My God. Something like that, probably, yeah.
Imani Bates is going to stop listening to the podcast.
I know. Hey, not you, Imani. Not you, buddy. All right. That's our show. We'll be back next week, next Tuesday. Keep listening. Subscribe. Please share us. Tell people that we're still doing good podcasts. I mean, this was quality entertainment, huh? Listen to the end.
You get some angry Chamber of Commerce letters.
Yeah. We'll get back on our FCS football degenerate gambling next week, too, and other issues. Talk to you then.